I do declare, it's Blair St. Clair.
Yes, I'm so excited to be here. Gosh, thank you guys for having me.
Yay, thank you. Hello, hello, squirrel friends. I'm John Polly, a producer on RuPaul's Drag Race and a Drag Race historian. And welcome, welcome, welcome to the official RuPaul's Drag Race podcast, or as we like to call it...
She's already the hair hurt.
But first, brought to you by World of Wonder and VH1, this podcast takes you deep inside the big pink furry box that is RuPaul's Drag Race. Each week, I'm joined by show insiders, judges, and the queens who made herstory to talk about this new 11-gendary season and their experience on the show. So thank you for listening. And warning, kitty girls, there's going to be what?
Spoilers.
Thank you. So don't be gagging, so we warn you every ball. And if you still haven't seen this week's episode, make sure you watch RuPaul's Drag Race every Thursday at 9, 8 central on VH1 or on Wow Presents Plus. Now, having said that, this week I'm joined by the ingenue of season 10. She loves succulents. There's a cactus moment I do recall.
Oh, yeah. Lloyd. I remember him well, too.
Musical theater, sitting on cake, sitting on...
Secrets.
Secret, thank you. And being an international superstar recording artist, the irresistible... Blair St. Clair, hello.
Hey, how are you?
I'm fine. TV screens, magazines, and she's been around the world, but she looks 13.
And I still look 13. I'm waiting for puberty to settle in. I still wake up every morning looking into the mirror and say, is today going to be the day?
First Indiana and now the world. Where are you based now?
Now I'm based in Washington, D.C. Yeah, I moved from Indiana right before we premiered season 10.
Uh-huh. For love?
A little for love, a little for life, and a little for change. You know, all the above.
Are you like a congresswoman's wife? A congressman's wife?
I am a congresswoman in my own right. Right. I feel like.
Thank you.
Congresswoman of drag. I want to speak for the people.
I'm so happy to have you here. And we're going to dive into this episode. And like, as the episode begins, Sugar Cane has departed. Vancy just lip synced and threw her guts out on the stage to stay. And back in the room, the general vibe is nerves. Like even Silky seems to be a little like shaken.
Yeah.
Which means it's anybody's game. Who do you want for the top four?
Oh, who do I want? Wow. Yeah. Isn't that the question of the day? I love different. I like seeing new things. I want to be inspired when I watch Drag Race. Mm-hmm. And especially having the opportunity to be on the show. Evie excites me.
Yeah.
She's different, man. And there's something about her that it just captivates you in a different way.
Yeah.
I will say my criticism of Evie is that there are times where I feel like there's not as much polish. Uh-huh. So I want to see that weird, different quirkiness with a little extra polish to it.
Okay.
I also love Akiria. I think she's really poised. She's really put together. Love Brooklyn Heights.
Uh-huh.
I think she is great. And I also love Nina.
Yeah.
Nina is that campy queen. That she's from the streets that I grew up from. That Midwest right. vibe, you know, the pageant circuit. So yeah. Love her.
Yeah. Have you done pageants?
I have, yeah. I've actually had a state title of Miss Gay Indiana America.
Oh.
Yeah, so she's got a crown or two up her sleeves.
And what was your like talent portion of that?
My talent portion, I did a Marilyn Monroe talent that I created with a mixture of songs from the TV musical Smash. Are you familiar with that?
Bombshell.
Bombshell, yeah, exactly.
Yes, I knew you were a Smash fan because I remember you writing on the mirror, let
I
me
did.
Be your star.
And I said, let me be your star as my elimination episode. And then Catherine McPhee, who was from the show, tweeted back at me and said, like, I'll be your star any day or something like that. Oh and God. I was like, okay, this is a full circle moment for me.
I love that because I was obsessed with Smash when it was on TV. And I feel like it wasn't bad, but it wasn't that good either. But it was totally compelling and like it was cheesy and I loved it.
It was so cheesy. But what I liked, I think most captivating about it was that it was a scripted TV show mm-hmm. about the ins and outs and backstage side of Broadway. We don't get to see much of that. We don't see backstage stuff. People love the backstage stuff. That's what they love Untucked.
Yeah.
On Drag Race.
Totally, totally, totally. Also, I hope you should remain friends or stay in touch with Catherine McPhee. Mm-hmm. Because she's marrying like David Foster, who's like one of the richest people in Hollywood.
Is she really?
Yeah. So like she's going to be set for life. So you should be best duties with her and hang out because she's going to be rich.
Well, that's just a bonus. I do want to be best friends with Catherine McPhee. I need a few tips and pointers from her. She's doing pretty well in life.
Yeah. Bella and Gigi Hadid's mom was married to him for a while. Go Catherine McPhee. Karen Cartwright.
That's what he would
always yell at her on the show. Anyway, we were watching the show. You said you also know Silky from way back when.
Yeah, I do know Silky. So Silky on the show calls herself a Chicago queen.
Yeah.
But where is she originally from? Is she from Tennessee?
Mississippi.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I know Silky from Indiana when I lived there.
Yeah.
So she's from Mississippi then.
Yeah.
She moved to Indiana. She went to Wabash University in Indiana. And they started doing an annual drag show. Uh-huh. That's where she started doing drag. Uh-huh. She started doing drag in Indiana. So that's how I know her really well. And she moved to Chicago right after I did the show for, I think for her profession.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And then she auditioned for the show and as a Chicago queen.
Yeah.
So I know her really, really well as an Indiana queen. And I feel a little bit responsible, I'm not going to lie.
Please.
For how outspoken she may be and may come across in the show. We were talking, because we were talking about her originally wanting to audition. Yeah. And I said, yeah, you absolutely should. It's a great opportunity. It can really propel you in your life and your career. I said, but if I have one piece of advice, if you do the show, if it works out for you,
yeah.
I said, don't hold back. I said, have a voice, have an opinion, and make sure your opinion is heard.
You're like the silky whisperer.
Oh, gosh.
No, that's good. That's good. I think it was good advice.
Sure, yeah.
I think so. Anyway, top of the show, and Vanjie says she's ready to
reset, reboot, and I'm leaving behind the bottom two.
And Akira pulls out a baseball bat. She's ready to do what it takes to get to the top. Who would you have liked Tonya Harding in your season if it meant you could have gotten farther?
Well, I definitely knew that Aquaria was the one to beat.
Uh-huh.
Walking into the workroom, I just knew. I knew of her from online presence.
Yeah.
I knew about her. So if I could have immediately knocked her out... immediately, like, walked into the workroom and what she wore, and I could have just, like, smacked her out.
All right.
Maybe could have started on a little bit better foot.
That's
but
fair.
Honestly, like, if looking back, like, there's no one else I could have really pushed out of the way but myself. I really held myself back in so many regards.
Why or how?
I think I did really well on the show for what I did. I think I was just a little naive.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was a little unexperienced.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no one to blame but myself. There's no one to really blame in general. I just think that I've grown up a lot since Drag Race. And in such a short period of time, because there's so many more opportunities that are given to us with having that platform.
Yeah.
And I've just taken a lot of them to really grow and expand and learn.
Yeah.
I mean, I had never set foot in California before we even filmed the show. So honestly, like, yeah, who would I bat out? I mean, maybe Aquaria, because she was so great.
Uh-huh.
But also, like, the only person really standing in my way was me. And now I realize that.
Would you consider doing an All-Stars?
It's kind of a big question, like, would you do All-Stars? But I can say, I can tell you, if I decided to do All-Stars, I think I would do surprisingly much better. I think I put a lot of skill to the test this past year with really testing my limits and pushing myself way further than I've ever gone. And so if I were to do an All-Star season, I think it would be a much different result. And I think people would be shocked, too.
Oh, good.
I'm just a new human.
When in doubt, freak him out.
Absolutely. And go far, too. Go far with it.
We're going to get into the episode. Rue comes in, announces the return, sort of the Slap Out of It mini challenge, which is based on last season when, like, the queens all had to, like, give Rue a reason to slap them, say something sassy or salty to Rue, and then Rue would fake slap them, very Dynasty style. Rue says,
since I'm still in litigation over allegedly slapping a queen last season.
Oh, my God. Referencing the Asia moment.
Yes, yes.
And actually, we all do just now work for Asia O'Hara. She actually does own
She owns all the company.
Yeah.
99% of the company. 1% is still Ruse.
But so the queens are going to slap each other. So their task is to step up to each other, say something salty. And I think the challenge is really to be dramatic in your receipt of the slap.
Yeah,
does that make any sense?
Wait. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. The queen... Here it is. The queen with the best slap reaction wins.
Wins. Okay.
So we see lots of queens. It goes on for a bit because we just see lots of insults and lots of slappery.
Mm-hmm.
Who did you like in the challenge?
Oh, I love Brooklyn Heights. from the get-go. Uh-huh. She didn't overreact. She underreacted with, like, momentum.
It was very soap opera diva.
Soap opera diva to the extreme.
Silky has, like, ponytails that, like, pop out and pop off and then, like... Vanjie calls Evie an ugly Naomi Smalls, which I kind of loved.
Oh my gosh, I kind of love that too.
Brooklyn said Silky feels like a waterbed.
I would have said maybe like a Beanie Baby.
And then I also love that, like, Silky and Akira sort of end up snatching toupees.
Yeah.
Like, she comments on Akira's, like, interview, like, little workroom baseball cap, like... She calls it a Brillo pad toupee
moment.
I didn't
know that was real.
These queens will wear, like, hair pieces in the workroom, in interview. You know, it's, you know, you can wear whatever you want. Anyway, Brooklyn wins the mini. As part of it, she's giving a responsibility for the maxi challenge. Because we find out, and Ruth says to the girls,
ladies, you've all come so far, but it's lonely at the top. So I've arranged a play date for you.
And then what happens? Who walks in the room?
The past eliminated queens, you know, some of them, not all of them.
Right.
They walk back in to be back into the challenge for a makeover challenge.
Yes, six queens are back, and they're going to be paired up with the current queens. Immediately, Suga, Plastique, Scarlett, Ariel Versace, Honey Davenport, and Soju are all suddenly back prancing in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, immediately the current girls are all kind of shaken because I'm sure they're wondering, like...
Bitch!
Hold the fuck up. Why they brought these bitches back? I don't like games. I don't play Uno, checkers, Monopoly. I don't know what's going on. Last time they brought other girls that were eliminated, it didn't end up good, Shangi. I'm worried and I pray that they're not going to replace some of us with some of them.
Like, who would you have wanted to be paired with?
Want to be paired with? So the easy option,
yeah,
is Plastique.
Why?
I think she has a beautiful face and a great canvas. Mm-hmm. Would have been easy. But I would have wanted to pick Ariel.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that she also has another pretty easy canvas that I could really alter mm-hmm. my aesthetic with. But she also has so much personality.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have rather showcased less of a great look and more of a really great runway presentation.
Gotcha. So like I think a story.
That, yeah, story. So I think like Ariel would be a tiny bit of a challenge.
Uh-huh.
And if you really, really showcase, but not too much. Not like yeah. it's a huge risk. Yeah. Just enough.
Also, they're wearing these big old foam mittens. What's that about?
So the foam mittens are to ensure that they're not going to jump in, do their own hair, do their own makeup, and right. really make sure that the contestants that are still in the competition do the work.
Right, because that's the thing. The returning queen can't do any of her own makeup. The current queens have to do everything. Have to make them over into their family
yeah,
member.
And as someone who's very OCD and type A,
yeah.
I would not like being in that position.
Okay, so Brooklyn does get to pick first because she won the mini challenge and then pair everybody up. Brooklyn chooses Plastique. And then the pairs are as follows. Nina gets Sugar. Evie gets Scarlet. Akiria Davenport gets...
Honey.
Davenport. Silky gets Soju.
Yeah.
And Vanji ends up with Ariel. So how is Silky feeling about Soju?
Oh, Silky's over it. not even... Oh, she's so over that she can't even... fathom about how over it and how done with it she really is.
The motherfucking challenge is to put a drag queen, excuse me, an experienced drag queen in motherfucking drag. Why do I feel like I'm about to put somebody in drag for the first motherfucking time in their life?
Right. Because when we get in the workroom and they start, you know, they start talking, like working on the challenge.
Yeah.
What do we discover about Soju?
We discovered that she doesn't really wear heels.
No, it's
not
crazy.
At all. And she's tendonitis in her feet.
How? And we're kind of jumping ahead here, but I don't care. Because we learned that she can't really walk in heels.
Right. I will say, I don't think heels make a drag queen.
Okay. Yeah, fair.
You know, I don't really say there's one specific element that makes a drag queen.
Yeah.
But it definitely elevates to, you know, that sexy, sophisticated level when you have the elongation yeah. of your leg. You know, it just helps your movement when you're walking. I'll do photos and, you know, a photo shoot where even if it's a beauty shot that's waist up,
uh-huh.
but I'll still wear heels to make me feel that moment.
Thank you. Dedication.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to feel the full character in the fantasy.
Yeah.
So to me, like, if you're not wearing heels, like, it's still drag, but... shocking that there's never been an attempt.
No, it does seem like one of the basic things, and maybe I'm wrong, mm-hmm. of getting on this show and being like a queen worthy of being on Drag Race is like heels, honey.
Yeah. I actually have worn heels, new heels, around yeah. the house. You know, when they say, like, people joke, oh, I'm going to wear these to clean the house and mm-hmm. vacuum with, I have really done that. I have. Just to become more acquainted, and especially since Drag Race, I've just really worked on
it. When did you first walk in heels, like, ever?
Oh, in my mom's, when I was, like, 4 years old.
Yeah.
Like, when I was just able to walk on my own, I would slip into my mom's heels, and yeah. they'd be oversized, and I'd like, right. clomp around the house.
Where did you get your first pair of heels from? Like, where, to explain the scenario, when you bought your first pair of heels?
I got them from, like, a consignment store.
Uh-huh.
So they were really discounted and pretty cheap.
In Indianapolis. Uh-huh.
And
what was the store called?
It's called Plato's Closet.
Plato's
Closet. They sell like the things you can buy from the mall and like resell them to the store.
Uh-huh.
So
yeah,
it's
yeah,
like
yeah.
discounted, you know, kind
what
of the Goodwill.
Like?
They were like a strappy stiletto like heel. Way too tall. You know, way too tall, completely stripper-like.
Uh-huh.
And it's just like, oh, these are the heels. You know, the ones I feel like new drag queens always go yeah. to the highest, tallest, sexiest
sure.
heel first.
How old are you?
Well, I was like a freshman in high school.
Oh!
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So young enough.
Oh, my God. That's so good. Anyway, so the queens start like working with getting into their pairs. And right off, Vanji asks Ariel about wig gate.
Oh, yeah.
What do you know about this whole wig situation?
Oh, gosh. Yeah. So from what I can understand and gather is that Ariel had her elimination episode and she was packing up and untucked
right.
and being flustered and upset as you would be from mm-hmm. being eliminated, she seemed to have left over a couple wigs in the workroom.
She forgot them,
yeah.
Right.
And so we hear that Plastique was under the assumption that they were left for her.
Right.
And the other girls took them the next day with seeing, you know, that Ariel was gone in
yeah.
the workroom.
They're like, oh, honey, free wigs.
And free wigs, girl. I'm going to take all of them. Like, that's
yes.
like free money in my bank account. So...
And she did leave. She left one
yeah.
for Silky.
And so when Ariel comes back in yeah. this episode, she says that she did she forgot and left the wigs there on accident.
Yeah.
But she left one intentionally for Silky, and it was a red wig. And so none were left for Plastic Tiara.
Mm-hmm.
Zero. None were purposely left there, whether you're best friends in the competition or not.
Right.
Nothing was on purpose besides the one for Silky.
I know.
Yet they happened to go mysteriously missing and really distributed between the other queens. I mean, sure, it's not like this necessarily finders keepers.
Yeah.
But when you're on Drag Race, you know someone's not coming back and they've left it there for good. I mean, yeah, you're going to figure out what you're going to do with it.
Oh,
I mean, especially when you're in a competition and you're looking, if you're getting critiqued and maybe they have a criticism, you need new wigs. Well, if they're there.
Hello.
Help yourselves. I mean, it's not stealing if it's left.
Thank you.
Now, if you're coming back in the workroom, I understand you make mistakes, you leave something, but you can't accuse people of also taking them.
I know. It's complicated.
There's a lot of sides to the story.
Yes. Evie and Scarlett are going through their looks, and Evie wants to do something kind of deconstructed and very Evie oddly, which is great. And the next thing you know, we see Scarlett like prancing around the room as only Scarlett can.
Girl, whenever Scarlett's in the room, you really have to take down all the mirrors. And you got to take away her phone from her, too, I'm sure, so she's not taking, like, selfies all over. She is feeling the moment.
I know.
She is in that moment.
What the f*** is that?
A winning look?
Yes, bitch, you better.
I like seeing, like, the goofy Scarlett prance around the room.
Me too.
Again.
I do.
Okay, we're going to take a little break, and then when we come back, we're going to walk backward through Herstory with a look at some past Drag Race makeover challenges. So we're going to be right back. It's coming. RuPaul's DragCon LA is just around the corner at the LA Convention Center on May 24th, 25th, and 26th. So get ready. Come and meet and get sweet with every queen from season 11 and about a jillion more. Akira C. Davenport, Acid Betty, Adore Delano, Aja, Alaska, Aquaria, Ariel Versace, Asia O'Hara, and that's just the A's. There will be amazing vendors, performances, fun panels like Unlive, Trinity the Tuck giving Carson Kressley a drag makeover in our Drag Eye for the Queer Eye show, and you can even see me doing a live version of this podcast. And just hang out and prance around with other beautiful fans and folks like yourself. It really is the draggiest place on earth. Get tickets and learn more at RuPaulsDragCon.com. And P.S., DragCon New York is coming to the Jacob Javits Convention Center on September 6th, 7th, and 8th. Ooh, honey, so much drag. Get all the tea at RuPaulsDragCon.com. Yes, tea and tickets at RuPaulsDragCon.com. Thank you. Okay, we are back, and I am here with America's sweetheart, Blair St. Clair.
Hey, she is America's sweetheart.
So it's time for a little game I call Don't Make Me Over, which is a Dionne Warwick song. Or it's just called Your Makeover is Terrible.
Yes.
Anyway, it's Makeover Challenge Trivia, so I hope you're ready.
Okay.
Which season of RuPaul's Drag Race was the first to feature a makeover challenge?
Was this season 3?
No.
No.
Season one.
Did you go on season one?
Season one. In the episode Drag School of Charm, the girls, Bebe, Nina, Angina, Rebecca, and Chanel all had to give makeovers to female fighters. These butch ladies.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yes, yes. And there's been a makeover every season since.
Every season since, okay.
Do you have a favorite season of the makeovers?
Favorite season of the makeover. Oh, it was All-Stars 2 when they brought back their like loved ones. It was moms and brothers and sisters.
Yes!
That one I loved. Because that you get to have you know, your friends come back in or your family members.
Yes.
Get to see the world you're living in.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. No, that I totally agree.
But I will say, I love my mom to death, but I don't want to put her in drag.
Oh my God, why not?
No. Oh, my mom, she wouldn't know what to do with herself.
Are you sure?
Oh, I know. I know. My mom is not a girly girl. She's not
all the better.
She doesn't like that would be a challenge though.
Yeah. Well, that's the point. That's why they call it a challenge, Tammy.
That's true.
Okay. In the episode Drag My Wedding, the season 6 queens had to transform soon to be grooms into blushing brides.
I remember.
Which queen experienced a runaway bride? She like bolted off the stage. If it helps, I can explain why she bolted.
Yeah, explain why.
Because she was going to vomit. She was like, I don't feel well. And the next, we get like a little shot of her like, bleh.
The queen did?
Yeah, the guest.
Oh, the guest
did. The guest being made over. I mean, this was real hard. This is when they had like real married couples coming
in. Right, I remember that.
It was the same bride who Bianca Del Rio said looked like the Lady Gremlin. It was Jocelyn Fox's, Bradonna Fox was her name. Bless her heart.
Oh, bless.
Bless her intestines. Okay, which season were the queens asked to make over celebrity children? Kelly Osbourne.
I remember this one.
Jillian Hervey and Katie Z, who's Pia Zadora's daughter. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to perform as girl groups.
It's an all-star season.
Yes.
And I was, this is All Stars 1?
Yes.
Yeah,
All Stars 1. Yes, yes. Because the winning team was Team Shad, which was Chanel and Chad.
Yeah, it was Chanel. Yes, yeah, yeah. And did they have Vanessa Williams?
They had her daughter. Jillian Hervey is her daughter, who's also Lion Babe, a recording artist on her own.
Yes.
Right. Okay, this season 5 queen gave a makeover to a gay veteran who decided to continue their drag career post-Drag Race.
This is Alaska with Nebraska Thunder.
Yes.
Thunderbug, right?
Yeah. Exactly, exactly. And do you know, I'm sure you do, what drag queen is Nebraska currently in a relationship with?
With Derek Berry.
Yes.
Yes.
Girl, it's layered.
It's just so many layers.
It's a lot.
It's like a really windy day with a lot of clothes you're going to put on.
Okay, thank you. This has been Don't Make Me Over. You're welcome. Time for walkthroughs. Rue comes in. He chats with the Davenports. Akira wants to give Honey some Texas flair. Are there drag families in Indiana?
There are.
I'm sure there's drag dynasties everywhere, right?
Oh, yeah. So
are you part of one?
I'm part of a drag family in its own right, mm-hmm. but I'm not as crucially involved anymore.
Right.
But we have a lot of pageant circuit families in Indianapolis from where I started doing drag.
Sure.
So I'm from the House of Bitch. You know, naturally as I would be.
And yeah, when I think Blair St. Clair, I think bitch.
Right, of course. it just fits, right? I have a drag great-grandmother, drag grandmother, drag mother, and many drag sisters.
So who's your drag mother?
My drag mother, her name's Heather B.
Heather B?
Yeah, so she goes into not bitch, but Heather B.
Wait, like, wasn't she on The Real World season 1?
The what?
The Real World season 1. There was like, you know, the MTV show The Real World from a million years ago. It was one of the first reality shows. There was a Heather B. She was a rapper. Because there was two Heathers on the show.
Well, my Heather B, she is the farthest thing from a rapper.
Akira and thinks that Silky may be in trouble. Well, everyone thinks Silky may be in trouble, basically.
Yeah.
Rue even asks, when Rue goes to Brooklyn and Plastique, first Rue asks Brooklyn, why'd you choose Plastique? And Brooklyn's like, well, we have a similar walk, a similar aesthetic. And I'm just thinking, just say it, because she's gorgeous, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, she's an easy face to work with. You know, she's beautiful.
And then she asks if Brooklyn was being shady in pairing Silky and Soju.
Mm-hmm.
And then Brooklyn says Silky would have a hard time with anybody. What does she mean by that?
If we've learned anything from the show, we've learned that Silky's very confrontational and has a lot of opinions. At this point, who has she not gotten in an argument with?
Okay, fair. Yes.
Or disagreement, or at least called something out together.
And then Rue gets over and talks to Silky, and she's calling Silky out on her like bumpy pads last week. Oof. And it's kind of the first time ever that Silky's like speechless or doesn't have like something to say. What's going on there?
Well, I actually have a story about this.
Yes.
So I was working with Silky at a club in Indianapolis. This is probably 2-3 years ago. And she came to the show, to the gig, and she forgot her pads.
Ooh.
And she's like, oh crap. She used bathroom towels and stuffed her tights with the bathroom towels, the lumpiest towels you can find. She's like, see girl, I got some shape. So when I saw her lumpy pads on Drag Race, I was like, it looks like she went back to the towels.
Well, she's learning.
She should have been learnt already if you're going on TV.
God. But she does feel that Brooklyn kind of set her up with Soju.
She's probably right.
Right.
I mean, but to be fair, if I was in Brooklyn's situation, it's a competition.
Yeah.
I'm going to pick the best for myself and I'm going to be strategic with everybody else.
Yeah. Soju's worried about getting... Soju asked Silky if she has to use a Sharpie for her brows. Have you ever used a Sharpie?
No. And no one should. Silky should stop. I don't think that's good for your skin. I'm really big into skincare.
Yeah.
Really big into skincare. I want to make sure that my skin, with as much makeup and wear and tear that goes involved into it, it's going to last in 10 years.
Yeah.
And I don't think applying a Sharpie and scrubbing the hell of it off later is going to be anything good for your skin.
It sounds painful.
It sounds awful.
She better have a Sharpie sponsorship by the time the season's over.
Yeah.
So it's elimination day. The returning queens are back. They can't touch their faces. They're wearing these big old mittens. And while they're all sitting there getting made up, we have a couple of like dishy call out moments.
Uh-huh.
So first of all, they try to get to the bottom of the wig situation. And I swear,
I feel like it just kind of it starts to spiral.
It's like she left the wigs. Some people took them. Plastique thought they were for her.
Yeah.
And then it's just kind of like, all right, girl, somebody has wigs, somebody don't.
I think at this point, Ariel was just like frustrated that the wigs were left to begin with. She's frustrated by that point.
Yeah.
And she's just annoyed and over it.
Who are you closest with from your season?
Closest with Miss Cracker the Vixen.
Oh,
we're actually
good.
Really close, the three of us.
Yeah.
Yeah. We actually have a group chat. We talk nearly daily.
What are they doing today?
So Cracker's working with her own one-woman show. And I know Vixen is really working with Black Girl Magic in her show.
gorgeous.
Yeah, and I'm working with trying to be a pop diva, pop star.
Yes. And then we also get a little moment because when Scarlett came back, they asked her, like, Nina and Evie, and maybe Sugar was with them too, asked her, like, oh, so who were you surprised to see anybody in the workroom at this point? And she's like, yeah, she was surprised to see that Silky and Vanjie were both still here. So they bring that up again while they're all sitting around putting their makeup on. And Silky wants to know what she meant by that and what happens then.
Silky's upset that Scarlett made those accusations. Mm-hmm. Evie's upset that Silky's lashing out and because she's saying, like, Silky, you don't know how to take criticism. Not everything is an attack. It's just their opinion.
Right.
And Silky's saying, well, I can have an opinion, and everyone's jumping in and having their own opinion.
Right.
And everyone's entitled to their own opinion.
Yeah.
But you don't have to accept an opinion. You can just, there's two options. You can hear it and let it go.
Yeah.
Or you can hear it and retaliate, but usually retaliating isn't going to do anything.
I kind of like how this whole, like, conversation goes. Just because she thinks, oh, she was surprised to see you here, doesn't mean she hates you.
No, of course
it's
not.
It's not an attack. It's just kind of like, people have opinions about things. It doesn't mean you have to let them, like, get under your skin, which is hard.
I know. There's just this big three-letter word that gets in everyone's way, and it's called ego.
Yeah.
It's just like, don't take it so personally.
Right.
And that's something, you know, I, of course, you know, struggle with at times, as humans do. But it's not personal.
Was there stuff said either about you during your season that then you had to kind of, like, deal with or respond to, or just kind of, like, let slide?
I think in general, like, I was eliminated about in the middle of my season.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the fandom of Drag Race just kind of assumed that my talent level also equated to being average, middle ground. And I don't think that's the case. I think what happens is when you're in a new stressful environment, different things happen. Someone has to go weekly.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter if you can be the most talented person on the TV show and go home first if you have, like, a really rough time to start. And it's different in its TV world. I take those opinions and I put that energy into being passionate. I'm like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
If you think that about me, I'm going to prove you wrong.
I like the kind of land on my humor at the end of this whole conversation, at least. Even Silky and, like, Vanjie are laughing themselves, like, Salty Malty, Press Panini.
Mm-hmm.
And Scarlett does crack me up. She's like, opinions are like assholes, and most of them are on my face. So we get to the runway. Dun, dun, dun. And bitch, she's from Chicago. Miss Lena Waithe is here.
She is, like, the first Black queer woman to, like, win an Emmy for sitcom writing, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah, she's awesome. And Wanda Sykes, who's just, like, an icon.
Love Wanda Sykes. I can't get enough of her.
Yeah.
I think she's been a guest on the Ellen show, like, 30 times. There's some crazy number. She's been the most had guest. And every time that she comes on, I'm, like, tuned in.
Yeah.
Immediately, I'm like, what's Wanda doing today? What's she saying?
No, she's perfect. So then it's runway time, and the girls come out walking, and we get our pairs, our makeovers, our sisters. First out are Evie and Scarlett.
Mm-hmm.
And what did you think?
I thought I was going to hate it.
Mm-hmm.
So there were a lot of stylistic elements that I was like, okay, a little rough.
Yeah.
Some shoe elements and some choices, some accessories, rough. It could be cool. It could be a texture element. But the polish, like I said earlier, just isn't to that level. It's lacking. But I love and really respect taking a risk in the creativity.
Yeah, yeah. And at least it's super signature Evie. Next on the runway is Nina and Sugar. And they're like Pride Parade superhero kind of, like, combo. What did you think of them?
Well, I mean, even having not explained the message, I would have gotten it.
Yeah.
I would have understood. I know they're both flags, and I would have gotten the correlation that they're sisters and they're sister communities and people and groups. But I just thought this was so bad.
Aww.
I know. And I wanted to love it so much. Like, when I heard the story, I was like, yeah, this is going to be hot. And then I saw it and I was like, ooh, woof. It was also a nod to Kinky Boots. And Kinky Boots is all about making boots fit drag queens.
Yeah.
Well, they're boot covers to begin with. They're not boots.
True.
So I was like, that element didn't even, that was gone.
I know.
And then you have, there's two themes going on here and they're coming together, but there's no like moment for me that really they come together.
Okay. And then we get Akiria and Honey, and they're just kind of in, like, orange and yellow kind of classic pageant drag.
Yeah, I think they both look super stunning. Absolutely gorgeous.
I like that Wanda Sykes is, like, they're moving slow on the runway.
Yeah.
She's like, they're the Real Housewives of Molasses. Then we get Silky and Soju in their kind of, like, disco retro moment. What did you think of Silky and Soju?
Oh, goodness. Pause for effect.
Uh-huh.
Like, and not in a good one way.
See,
like,
it was when they first came out, I thought this was a clever way to use the two of them, who are very different types.
Mm-hmm.
But it was rough.
Sick of seeing Silky in another dance costume on the runway.
Okay.
For me, the runway is not about looking glamorous, and it's not about looking perfect and poised. It's about telling a story.
Mm-hmm.
It's who is that girl, what is she wearing, where is she going, and what is she doing.
Uh-huh.
It's what's the story. I'm interested in what's going on here between the dynamic, especially of two people.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the story is. I see kind of a disco element. So yeah. They're disco divas and sisters. But are they sisters? They look like they're best friends. Like, at least Scarlett and Evie are both so different aesthetically.
Yeah.
One's a glamorous old Hollywood, you know,
Scarlett,
starlet.
Yeah.
And then the other one is like this quirky, weird, edgy, couture, avant-garde personality. Yeah. They look, you know, relatable. Like, they look like they're cohesive.
Yeah.
This is not cohesive.
Okay.
Besides color.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's disco, but.
Right. Vanjie and Ariel Versace.
I think they look great.
Yeah.
Definitely got the Marilyn Monroe Gentlemen Prefer Blondes reference. I love that they were in one in a gown and one that was like a pantsuit.
Yeah.
Love that because they're different silhouettes. It was enough similarity to say we're kind of like sister twins.
Yeah.
There's a lot of influence here, but we're different. It's like, I'm the cool sister, you know, like, and maybe I'm like the elegant sister.
Yeah.
You know, they still had personality in it.
Yeah. And I thought Vanjie just totally rose to the challenge.
Yeah.
And then the last pair was Brooklyn and Plastique.
So aesthetically, simple.
Mm-hmm.
Simple. Sometimes less is more. And in this situation, the aesthetics it's polished.
Right.
It looks great from head to toe.
We got
it's beautiful.
A blue gown, a red gown. They're complimenting
exactly
floral moments.
Each other, and they definitely look, you know, have some sort of relation. But that's not what I loved.
Yeah.
I loved the storyline on the runway when Brooklyn made it clear that it was kind of almost like her drag daughter on the stage. It was like, no, honey. You walk after mother and you follow mother's footsteps. And I love that because I got to see a little more personality from Brooklyn.
True.
And that's something I've been lacking a little bit on the season.
Cool. Okay. When we come back, we're going to talk some critiques and deliberation. But first, it's time for a break. And we come back, we're going to talk critiques and deliberation and get into some family matters. We'll be right back. Hey, kitty girls. Are you in need of more dragony shows and programming in your life? Well, then check out WoW Presents Plus, the network featuring the best of WoW Presents and of World of Wonder's massive library of shows, series, and specials. You can get Unappropriate with Trixie and Katya, get schooled by Jasmine Masters and her masterclass, plus lots of jush from queens like Jinx Monsoon, Bob the Drag Queen, and many, many more. It's just $3.99 a month or $39.99 a year to subscribe. And listen, you just spent that much on a Diet Coke and some chicken tenders, so please head to wow-presents.com now to sign up and get your life. Yes, that's wow-presents.com. Thank you. Okay, we're back, and I'm here with the stunning and talented and America's sweetheart, Blair St. Clair.
Oh, well, please do go on. Continue.
And it's time for a little game we're calling We Are Family, where you need to identify the drag mother from the name of her drag offspring.
Okay.
And these are from makeover challenges.
So I'm guessing the drag mother who created this person.
Yes, yes. The drag race queen who created this new child.
Okay.
Okay. Wintergreen.
Peppermint.
Thank you. Season 9. Mm-hmm. Hi, Sarge. Okay. Whose drag daughter was Patty Cash?
Monet Exchange.
Yes. All-Stars 4. Mm-hmm. Do you know Monet well?
Love Monet.
Oh, you were in the same
love
season.
Love her very much, yeah.
Do you know Patty?
Yeah, I do. Patty's her assistant.
Right.
Patty's Monet's assistant.
She's cute.
She's great. Patty is basically a queen. A queen to the queens.
She's Patty Cash. Litter Box.
Pandora Box.
Yeah, that was not
hard. That one was a little easy.
Yeah, thank you. Shanita Hart.
Monique Hart.
Danny.
Yes, from All Stars 2.
Mm-hmm.
This one's trickier.
Beth Adone. Okay. Detox.
Yes. Oh, my God. I was ready to give you that clue if you needed
really?
It from the family makeover. That
no,
was her sister.
I remember that one. That was her sister. Yeah.
Oh, her sister's so lovely. Okay. Short Change.
Will this Monet Exchange on season 10?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yes. Tyler Oakley?
Yeah, from YouTube.
Okay. Hawaii.
Is this Alaska? No, it's not. Is it Alaska?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was also a family member.
It was a family member of what? I'm sorry.
It was her family member. It was her mother.
Was it?
Which put her in the bottom for that All-Stars makeover episode when the family came back.
Yes. So this is on the All-Star season.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
On All-Stars 2. I remember this. This is when Alaska had a little bit of her mental breakdown.
Totally.
Moment. And that moment, I think, is what propelled her to get to the top. It, you know, set that fire under her. It was like, this isn't ever happening again. That was the only time she's ever been in the bottom
for
her regular season and All-Stars.
I know.
Wish I could say the same.
And her mother was there. Like, how like, mortifying.
Yeah, of all episodes. Of all times to be in the bottom.
And speaking of family, it's time for some birthdays. May 9th is the birthday of one of our most memorable Drag Race family members. She doesn't like messy queens. She doesn't like cheap queens. And she definitely doesn't like manly queens. She was featured on season 6 and on All Stars 4.
Okay. And All Stars 4.
But how old is she, though?
Is this Gia Gunn?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Do you know how old she's going to be?
Is she going to be 29?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, that was good.
Good guess.
Do you know Gia well?
I don't. We've actually never met.
Oh, my God.
Never
gosh.
Met.
Well,
so,
come on out,
to.
Gia. She's here now.
Wait, is she going to make me over? Is this my makeover challenge?
No, she's not here.
Oh, okay.
Wah.
I was hoping to look beautiful.
Oh, and wait, you have a birthday coming up soon.
I do, yeah.
May 16th.
Yeah.
Okay. How old are you going to be?
15.
What are you going to do for your birthday?
I think, so there is this special place in the world. It's called Peking Gourmet.
Ooh.
And it is a huge, well-known, it's a famous restaurant near Washington, D.C.
Uh-huh.
And it's where I go for every special occasion. So that's where I'm going to be.
Where is it? Is it like in Virginia?
It's in Virginia in like uh-huh. Falls Church area.
Okay.
And it's been featured on so many films and so many different things.
Oh my God,
They have like a wall of fame there.
Yeah.
So if there's anyone that's famous or has any kind of like notoriety that's been in the restaurant,
yeah.
They get a photo of them, they sign it, and they put it up on the wall.
You better take a photo when you go.
But every time I go in there, I just act like I'm my normal teenage self.
Oh, honey, no, you need to take a photo and get that on the wall.
I know I do.
And also, fans, if you want to stalk Blair St. Clair on her birthday, go to Peking Gourmet. She's going to be there.
I'll be there. So also, if you want to buy dinner, it's on you.
good deal. Okay, so critiques, Nina and Suga, they like the message, but...
They're not loving the outfits.
Thank you.
They're not getting it.
Silky and Soju... They just think it was a little...
Lumpy.
Yes, yes.
Lumpy and bumpy.
And Soju's makeup's a little...
Oh, Soju's makeup was very hard.
Yeah.
And that's with the nice stage lighting from the runway.
Oh, true.
So imagine how sharp and hard that is.
Yes. They love Vanjie and Ariel. They love Brooklyn Plastique. And then, and I'm skipping around here, but like they also ask who should go home tonight and why, and then what happens?
Oh, and that was very divided. It was very much... Evie Oddly against Silky.
Right.
It was very, which one are you picking?
Yeah.
And so it became very clear as, you know, we were watching the episode that, oh, I think that Evie and Silky are going to be in the bottom two lip syncing against each other.
Mm-hmm. And of the vote, 7 people said Silky and 5 said Evie.
Okay. So more against Silky
than
Evie. Yeah,
but not far. Mm-hmm. People go away. There's deliberations. Anyway, spoilers. Akira is safe. Vanjie is...
safe.
I know. And everyone gasped. And I did too. I really thought Vanjie was going to win.
I was kind of on track. I thought that Brooklyn Heights was going to win.
I know you called it. We were watching.
Yeah, I called it.
Clearly, you should be a judge on this show.
Invite me. I'll come judge.
And then Silky, we love your soul sister, but this week you dropped the disco ball. Oh, soul sister. Is that S-E-O-U-L?
Oh, yeah.
Because it's Soju and she's Korean. I don't know if that was intentional, but I'm going to say yes. Nina, you wore your pride on your sleeve, but the judges weren't feeling your rainbow connection. Come on, Muppets. Evie, being odd is in your jeans, but your denim drag gave us the blues. And then what happens? Who's in the bottom?
The bottom two are Silky Ganache and Nina West.
Girl.
And I think people watching are pretty shocked right now.
Yeah.
I think the prediction was Evie and Silky.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they just were not feeling. I'm sorry, Nina.
But I have to agree with Rue.
Yeah.
My bottom two were Nina and Silky.
Yeah. She's on it. The lip sync song is No Scrubs. And what did you think of the lip sync?
I was a little underwhelmed.
Uh-huh.
You know, I think this song, it is a little bit more laid back,
mm-hmm.
but there's so much room for character. There's so much room for swagger. There's so much room to really feel the song and the emotion. There's a lot of, you know, stuff in that song that can be really sold. I don't love a lip sync that's just trick after trick after trick,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to make as much use of the stage as possible.
Right.
I would rather see someone that stands center stage and just emotes like hell if that's what the song calls for.
Yeah.
This one's kind of in the middle. It can be have some upbeat moments, but you got to get that punch across, that fire, that desire, no matter what the lip sync is anyway.
Yes. So the song finishes and Rue says,
"Ladies, I've made my decision." Meh.
I almost thought like, just give him a do-over and have him do the song again. I want to see a little more like hardcore drive and like
I wish we
bananas.
Had a playback of Valentina moment, you know, part two. I wish Rue would have cut the song and says, cut the music.
Yeah.
And said, we're going to start this over and I want to see some fire.
Yeah, because I
want to see you burn.
And I'm sure they were trying, but it just still kind of came across a little...
You know, like I have to tell you, so since I have been in that situation
where
you find out, you think you're going to be in the bottom. You don't know for sure.
Yeah.
You go... backstage, they deliberate. You come back on stage, you find out if you're on the bottom two or not, and then you have to lip sync for your life.
Yeah.
I've had that moment where it's all in the line. Yeah. And, but you're also so psyched out. You're like, oh, where am I going or what's going on? So there's a lot of emotion there, you know, in their defense, but you just got to channel that.
Yeah. And then it's a gagger. Nina West is told to sashay away. And Rue says,
Nina West, you, my dear, are the pride of season 11.
What did you think?
Now, if that isn't a compliment, though, I don't know what else is. That's kind of shocking to me. I just thought Nina has more to show.
Mm-hmm.
And I have always been one of those people that hate when the queens say, after they've been eliminated, I left too early. I had so much more to show. I'm like, yeah. Well, you had opportunity to show.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it comes down. You have to own your own self and your performance on the show. But
I feel also at this point, both of these girls are stars.
Absolutely.
And big response, big futures. They're going to have blinds at DragCon.
Yeah, of course.
It's going to be crazy.
Of course. Everyone has their own audience.
So, well, this was a gagger. What do you have in store to gag the children with yourself?
Oh, I have a lot of new exciting projects coming up. Some are a little secretive, so I'll be a little loose with explaining. But you may see me on another TV show or two. You may see me in a movie or two.
What?
This next year.
Come on, Star is Born 2.
Yeah. If they had a number 2, I have an audition tape ready.
Oh, good.
I'm also working on a new album, which I'm really excited about.
Oh, good. And also, you're like, you made Drag Queen Herstory. You made Drag Race Herstory. You made a history period.
I had a number 1 album on the dance charts.
Yes!
Of any drag queen of all time.
That's so amazing.
Before my debut album.
Yeah.
There have been other queens that have topped some charts, but gotcha. my debut album, the first thing I released into the world, went to number 1.
Bam!
Yeah, really exciting, really cool. I never anticipated that, honestly. You could have asked me. It was just me finding time to put out my emotion and just show what I got and love it along the way. And it did... I'm so grateful.
So there's more music coming.
There is much more music coming. And a different style of music. A different style. Now I'm really centered toward tailoring my music to exactly what I want to say.
Oh my God, this is
and the genre that I want it to
this
be.
This is so like Pink and Kelly Clarkson did too.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Taylor Swift glow up moment.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that Disney Channel star that's grown up.
Yeah.
She's glowed up. And now I'm working on some mainstream pop music.
That's perfect.
Just some stuff to get a cool vibe, a cool swag vibe.
Okay, a couple of final questions. Blair, can I get a statement for the press?
Of course.
Blair, are you a lesbian?
Absolutely.
Blair, what's your favorite position?
CEO.
Sorry, I'm just living my Alaska, America Squeeheart moment, which is so good. It is one of my favorites.
Such a fun song.
How have you changed since your time on Drag Race?
Dramatically is the answer to that. Yeah. I've really become so much more open.
Yeah.
I've accepted who I am. I found more love for myself than I ever felt I had. And I've just grown up a lot. I've really also, you know, something that kind of shocks some people when they see me, I've really dived down deep into like sensuality and into intimacy and celebrating womanhood, celebrating the positive changes of, you know, sexual tension in life and finding like really cool safeness in that, you know, the safety. Yeah. So I think people sometimes see me and now I'm living those fantasies of like, girl, she is sexually awakened. She has found her inner voice.
Yes.
She's ready to explain what that voice is. She's her voice metaphorically and literally.
She's a woman.
Oh, she's a newborn woman.
Oh, good.
Resurrected.
I love it. Well, even in your looks that I see, you know, a lot on like Instagram and stuff, it's like, the level is like super glam, super like it's next level.
Thank you. Something that I'm also not afraid of doing is I love doing a glamorous, cool, edgy, high fashion look, but I'm not afraid of looking ugly or pushing those boundaries of something that you would maybe of trying. I'm not afraid of trying. And if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But at this point, I feel like the only way to elevate and to rise is to kind of try new things. So I think my aesthetic is just continuing to grow.
Yeah.
I know next year it's going to be different than today, and 2 years from now it's going to be even more different.
Well, when I want to elevate, I just fly Blair St. Air.
Of course, it's the only way to fly. Are you economy or coach?
I'm totally economy. Yeah, I'm in the cargo hold underneath. And I love that Jinx Monsoon and Manila both work for Blair St. Air.
They still to this day. They're on payroll.
Thank you, Blair.
Thank you so much. Seriously, this has been so much fun. I'm so grateful for RuPaul's Drag Race because truthfully, I wouldn't be able to have the opportunities or to rise to where I'm going and hope to go in the future without this opportunity. So I'm really grateful to be here.
Well, you earn everything.
Opulence.
Okay, and yay! Blair St. Clair, thank you for making this podcast over into a lovely conversation this week. She's delightful. Follow her at blairst.clair on Insta, and all over. And now, from talking about a buzzworthy elimination, let's talk to the eliminated queen herself. Mm-hmm. It's time for this week's Kitty Girl Catch-Up, and it is with the legendary queen of Columbus, Ohio, and, well, now, the world. She covers all the points on the compass, north, south, east, and west. Oh, for crying out loud, it's Nina friggin' West! And here she is. Hello?
Hello?
Oh my God, is this the Pride of Season 11?
It's the 11-gendary Nina West on the phone. Hello?
Oh my goodness! Where are you right now?
I am in Columbus, Ohio.
What are you doing? What are you wearing?
Well, I'm wearing a really fashionable short and a tank top as a mother just got done mowing her yard.
Oh, in drag.
In high whore drag.
So it means your pumps are covered in like are turned green with grass.
Yeah, well, first you get crafty, you go to Michael's and you do like a nice like blade of grass paint job on the heel, and then so that way whatever happens in the yard you really can't tell.
Well, you could also just like roll, you know, put on some like baby oil and roll in the yard and be covered in grass, and there's your look.
Oh, look, that is a look queen.
Oh my God. Well, I have spoken all season on this podcast just how fun you are to watch on this show. Like,
well,
you give the best faces, you have the best like attitude. And pretty much every queen who's been on this podcast, like from all the past seasons, love you. So what do you have to say about that?
I think it's overwhelming. Look, first of all, I want to be really clear. I had no clue that my faces were going to become a running commentary throughout the season. So that was a pleasant surprise, but I caught on quickly after when episode 2 came around. I was in Nantucket and I kept giving all those shady looks. I was like, oh God, here we go. the many faces of Nina West.
Oh my God, they're also good.
I think it's my double chin. I think that's what really does the work for me. It's like a raptor getting ready to attack. Like, so it's like, you know, I had the best time doing the season, and you know, prior to the show, I had worked with so many of those entertainers in Columbus, and the fact that they still like me after working with me,
honey, you are like the first lady of Ohio and the Midwest and the Eastern United States.
Yeah, like. Move over, Melania.
Oh, please.
Like, I've had nothing but a really, really great experience. Like, I'm not upset about anything.
Well, this week, I feel like, as we were talking right now, the streets are on fire. Like, do you encourage rioting as a response to your elimination?
Only if they're going to grab the cheese when they go to the grocery store.
Oh, honey.
The only thing to loot is cheese. No, I mean, look, anyone who's listening, what happened on the show happened on the show, and I agree with the critiques I got and with how everything ended up, and I'm thrilled that people have such a passionate reaction to all of this, and I'm thrilled that people are so in my corner. And I am also really happy, and I'm like, I got to show the world me, and
yeah.
I don't want people to be upset with how things went down. I'm lucky enough that I got to do it.
Well, speaking of which, I mean, you auditioned like for 9 times. So, like, after looking forward to it so long, how did it measure up?
Oh my God! Well, okay, so. It's everything I thought it would be, and it's nothing like I thought it would be. I was really thrown by the long days. Right before I walked into the workroom, I thought, oh my God, I'm not going to have any control over what I do. They're going to control everything. They're going to have complete control over like how I'm viewed, and I think that really forced me to get in my head, and I realized now on the other side of it, I was in complete control the entire time, and I wish I would have just been like a little bit more confident in the beginning of the season. But,
right, because when there was those challenges where you were kind of producing things like the Britney... Is Britney Bitch or like the Magic Show? Like you know how to produce a show. You know how to get stuff done and write scripts and like, you know, put things on.
Yeah, I mean that was like that's like in my wheelhouse. And then you get down to the sewing. And yeah. I knew how to sew, but it's like I questioned everything.
Yeah.
I questioned every moment. And then when we started to get to the runways, and I realized that my camp was almost too much and not like refined enough for the show. That started to really make me. I started to get really in my head about, oh well, I could have brought. I have this at home. Why didn't I do? And there just wasn't enough time to really fix it. But the show is, RuPaul said, I mean, like, everyone said it who's done the show. It is like drag one of boot camp 101. It is the hardest thing you're ever going to do, I think, for drag. It's going to make you completely reevaluate your drag and make you better on the other side of it. Like, what is, you have to burn the person you were before. Is that what Ru says? You have to burn the person you were before and come out of the ashes a different character and a kind of a raised phoenix.
You come out of the ashes as Phoenix, who, you know, the queen from Atlanta.
I'll get my lips filled tomorrow, girl.
All right. Now, what challenge, quickly, like, what challenge would you want to do over on?
The improv challenge. I don't know. I was mad I was safe in that. I wanted to be in the top and win.
For the cops challenge, the LADP?
The cops challenge, yeah, the LADP.
You want to get naked.
I want to be naked. I want to show the world my bosoms, my breasticles. Then you think about, like, maybe that, that farm to runway where I wear those cute little biscuit shoes. I mean, really, it's just choices. There's just so many choices along the way.
I liked your farm to runway. I liked your corn moments. I liked the kind of like the little lavender tones. I was into it. Don't believe it. Don't believe anybody else.
Like, listen. I was serving really on. I was on Ohio theme that week for sure. I was corn fed the entire.
You're like, just got off the boat from Columbus, serving fresh corn. And you were also there and present for the Vanjie Brooklyn love affair. Were you surprised by it?
I was completely surprised by it, knowing Brooklyn as long as I have. Uh-huh. I just thought, she's not going to do this because she's a competitor. Like, she'll stay focused. And I just thought, girl, you're being so stupid. You're getting so distracted. This is so dumb. She's like, no, I'll be fine. I can manage this. I got this. At the end of the day, I'll put myself first.
Right.
And she does. And we see that. We saw that happen. Right. Like the LADB challenge. I mean, we see that.
Oh my God. Have you ever dated another queen?
No, I don't know why. No.
It's on your bucket list.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like I've had to check a box of saying what I'm not into, it'd be dating another drag queen. Yeah. Everything else is kind of fair game. Give me daddy, give me twink, give me bear, you know, whatever.
Speaking of daddies and parental units, how many drag children do you have?
That's such a weird segue.
Right? I forced that one. Whatever.
Maybe it's like 30, 32 drag kids.
Oh my God. Lord.
Yeah, listen, I've got, like, if you stand around me and you're fertile, I'm going to have a baby.
Wait, what's Octomom times 4?
But you know what? It's like, and my family is raised, it's made up of, like, kings, queens, bio queen, female presenting. You know, it's a really diverse group, and these are kids who are all styles of drag. There's club kids in there. There's comedy kids in there. There's pageant girls in there. Because that's what, you know, I've tried to instill in these drag kids that, you know, your drag can be anything you want it to be.
How has Drag Race changed your life?
Are you kidding me?
Okay, in a sentence.
I mean, it's changed my whole life. It's opened up all of these doors. I'm doing everything I ever dreamed of, and I'm a part of a family that I only ever, again, dreamt of. I can't believe that RuPaul knows who I am. I'm getting to see the world, and I'm getting to work on things that I only ever dreamt of. And from my Columbus, Ohio home to now, like, I'm going to be all over, and I'm going to have opportunities to work with and meet incredible people. My whole life is forever changed. And
are you going to stay in Columbus?
That's the question of the hour.
What do you feel like? What do you feel this hour?
I feel like it's really important for me to have strong ties to Columbus always. I think there's going to be a time for me to probably step outside of Columbus for a little bit.
Yeah.
And really stretch my wings a little bit, maybe in Los Angeles or New York, and just see what kind of comes from that.
You could be tri-coastal.
I am tri-coastal, yeah. Atlantic, Great Lake, Pacific.
I support this. I think you should also just run for office. Like, I'm seeing, like, you can be the governess of Ohio.
I'm going to need a first man. Is that you?
Well, not with my past, no. I don't want to send your career down in flames, honey. And finally, I know we're going to see you at the reunion, at DragCon, and just like all over the world from here on out. But a very important question, has Drag Race helped you get laid?
Oh my God, there's everywhere.
Oh dear.
Yeah, and you know what? I haven't even been to England or the UK yet. And it's like, that seems to be where the greatest pool of penis is for me. Waiting. Just a pool of penis. Across the pond, penis.
Well, dive in.
I'm going to. I'm going to get me some bangers of mash. You're not even ready.
Put your floaties on and just go crazy. but yes, we will see you at DragCon. We will see you at the reunion.
We will see you in Columbus, Ohio. We'll see you performing all over the entire damn world.
Yes, you will. Yes, you will.
Thank you for an amazing season. Thank you for representing, like, the gorgeousness of, like, I want to say, like, American drag, and that sounds weird, but, like, I don't know. You just represent, like, this a tradition of drag that is very important and fantastic, and you do it perfectly. So thank you.
I love you. Thank you so much for that. Thank you. Sure. Thank you. Okay. Thanks for being a part of my journey. I love you.
Oh, thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Woo! Mio Mayo. Thank you, Miss Ohio Nina West. What a great, great queen. But all of our top five queens are great. And if you are sorry Nina's gone, I hear you. But please be sweet to all the remaining queens. They are all worthy and wonderful artistes. And get ready, because in just a couple of weeks, it's reunion time and grand finale time. Honey, this train is moving. It's too much. Thanks for listening. Subscribe and give us a glowing rating, please. Come to DragCon LA on May 24th, 25th, and 26th. And to get info all about that, go to RuPaulsDragCon.com. And wherever you are, go out and support your local drag queens. Tip them, slip them the tongue. I mean, sure. Tell them Nina West sent ya. Big thanks to her, and thanks to the brilliant Blair St. Clair. And now, go walk some children in nature. Oh, and if you're in LA, go see Tammy Brown on Angina at the Casino del Campo Cavern Club Theater on May 21st. I'll see you there. Seriously, I'm going. Okay, now to prance us out of here, we're going to get our glamazon on. Sing us out, Lady RuPaul.
Everybody wants her, Miss Sexy in the City. She's on the prowl. She rocked this town. Who's that girl? A fly, ferocious lady.